junior church today. I want to invite you to turn to Acts chapter 14, and I'm going to read this first as we go through it. But I have an interesting subject to talk to you today about. As I was researching this passage, the Lord just gave me some images. Is there anyone here that likes fireworks displays? How many would say you've seen one, you've seen them all? How many get disappointed at the end of a firework? Well, I wish there was five more. I wish there was just that extra burst, because it looks beautiful in the sky. And I started to think, you know, when Paul was going on his missionary journey and all the things that he faced, I noticed a difference between him and maybe perhaps John Mark, who in the previous chapter left and said, this is too much for me. He wasn't ready for the ministry. And I probably shouldn't put that on my shirt. It'll just come off. There we go. Is that better? Can you still hear me? Okay. All right. Okay. But there's a difference. I started to think, you know, there's time periods in my life where I've been what's called a firework Christian. You know, and those Christians are, or maybe they're not even Christians, but they have a burst of flame and then the flame is out and it's all over with and I'm done and I'm discouraged and that's it. I'm thrown in the towel. And those are the kind of Christians, they maybe sometimes want to ride from spiritual high to spiritual high, but they want to skip the middle parts where it's the lows, because it's also in the lows where God speaks and moves powerfully, as we're going to see in this passage. But I want to talk to you about a Christian who does not give up, a persevering Christian versus a firework Christian. A fireworks Christian just starts down the path and then something comes that's discouraging, or somebody says something negative and they just give up. So pay attention closely, I encourage you to, in Acts 14. It says, "Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord." Do you like that? "They rose up against..." So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly the word of the Lord. That's a persevering Christian. "Who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles, when an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them. They learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. Now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth, and he never walked. He listened to Paul speaking. And Paul looked intently at him, and seeing that he had faith to be made well, he said in a loud voice, 'Stand upright on your feet.' And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted their voices, saying in Lycaonian," a whole other language that probably Paul didn't understand, "'The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, 'Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you. And we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk on their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons and satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up, entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city, had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they had arrived, gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done for them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. You see, there's the difference between Christians who just have a spark and then the flame goes out. And we can see throughout Paul, and it's almost humorous that, so Paul was stoned and then the next he just got up and went right back into the city. That's some strength and perseverance and tenacity. And as we look at their journey here on the map, they were in Antioch. His home church was this Antioch over on the right. And they were in this town, and they traveled to Iconium for some 86 miles, and that's where they began. And then, of course, when they stirred up persecution, went to Lystra and Derbe, where the man was healed, and then where he was stoned, ultimately. And then he made his journey back around, as we see in the end of a passage, to the home church in this Antioch over here. If you want to know what it kind of looked like, the road that they took from Antioch to Pisidia on the left, and this is in modern-day Turkey, that's kind of the example of the road. It was a mountainous area, and then the town of Iconium was in a flat plains area. But as we look at this passage, fireworks religion is easily snuffed out. It's easily snuffed out. Now, I don't know about you, but John Mark's flame was snuffed out. And persevering Christians keep speaking boldly for Jesus when they even are experiencing public slander and opposition. And let me tell you, from this passage, unbelieving people will stir people up against you. This year, when you start to evangelize your neighbors and your friends, the devil is not going to like that. Other family members of the people that you're witnessing to are not going to like it. And so what they do is this, it's almost a demonic thing that happens. When we look up that word in the Greek, to poison their minds, that means to oppress or harm someone's mind. And that word for mind is soul, which is the seat of the emotions and desires. And it renders that their mind evil, affected, and embittered. So in other words, there's some spiritual darkness that happens here when someone poisons other people's mind. And that's what was happening. They went to the point that a spiritual stronghold took over the people, and they were embittered against the message of the Word of God. They were embittered against Paul. And who knows what they said? It could have been some kind of form of gossip. It could have been, look at this guy. He just wants the attention for himself. Whatever it is, but persevering Christians keep speaking boldly. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. And I think I look back through my times in ministries, and how many times have I given up and thrown in the towel because it got too hard or we didn't see results fast enough in any given particular ministry? I've done that before, and I'm sure all of you have as well. But Paul sets the example. A persevering Christian says, nope, I'm not going to buy that. I don't care what other people say or think of me. And guess what, folks, especially millennial generation, there's a huge problem with caring about what other people think. Oh, he made fun of my hairstyle. Or she said this to me, and we have such a weak stamina when people criticize us. That's our culture. That's, I'd say, American culture in general. We're kind of a culture of whiners. If we don't get our way on something, or if somebody disagrees with what we think or how we think, we are going to whine about it. We're going to protest. We're going to picket. We're going to do this, this, and this. But a Christian that perseveres does not become intimidated or back down when somebody like this guy in the picture is pointing out some faults in you, or pointing out how you did something wrong, or pointing out that what you're saying is not true, or it's fairy tales, or you're kind of over the edge kind of people, you know, religious nuts. You're original religious extremists. But I want to encourage you, folks, don't ever let what somebody thinks about you, young people. Don't let anybody intimidate you by what they think or say about you, because all that matters is what God thinks of you. And if God has called you to share the good news in your place of where you're at in school or in your workplace, if God's called you to do that, you do that. Forget about what people... You know, in the light of eternity, when we die one day, all those things that people say to us come to no account. They have no power over us. And when we have that freedom, as Paul did, is to not run from the first sign of trouble. You know, I've seen many Christians, including myself, start in a ministry. Oh, God is, it's like a firework Christian. God has called me to start this ministry, and then it gets tough and hard, and then the glamour is gone. And then all of a sudden, oh, I think God's called me now to do this. There's times when God moves us around, but what I'm trying to say here is that don't give up at the first sign of trouble when it gets hard or it gets difficult. They don't worry about pleasing others. And I want to talk to you a little bit about taking responsibility for other people's feelings. We're living in a culture where we take responsibility for other people's problems that they have with the gospel message of truth, that Jesus died and rose again. Paul didn't do that. He didn't feel guilty that they incited the town and poisoned their minds and tried to stone him. He didn't feel guilty about that. We don't have to feel guilty about other people's feelings. You just hurt my feelings when you said Jesus died on the cross for me, because I've always believed this way since I was a child. You're not responsible for their feelings or how they respond to the gospel message. And that not only applies to the gospel, that applies to our relationships in our families. When we are living out truth in love, I'm going to qualify that, in love, we are not responsible for what other people feel. And when we do that, that's one of the devil's tricks to shut us down, to cause unhealthy families, unhealthy marriages, unhealthy friendships, unhealthy relationships. Don't feel guilty. Paul didn't. They slandered him. So what did he do? He went home to one of the disciples and got his tub of ice cream out. Nope. He said he stayed there for some time and kept boldly speaking the word of God. So when they stirred up trouble, did Paul run and say, "Oh, I think I'm just going to go back home to my home church where everything is good and glamorous and things are going well"? No. He said he stayed there for some time and kept boldly speaking the word of the gospel. So they value what God thinks of them over what the majority of the world thinks. And guess what? Because of that, God allowed signs and wonders to be done. And my wife shared about a sign and wonder about God sharing His light in the gospel. There are signs and wonders happening all around the world where Christians are surrendered and they don't worry about what other people think. You know, probably what's the number one reason when you feel convicted by God to pray for somebody in the marketplace? What's the number one reason why we don't do that? Yeah, we're scared of what people will think of us. But if we get over that and realize that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they think. maybe God will stretch out his hand and perform some signs and wonders in Walmart or in the gas station or in our family gatherings in our home. Perhaps if we stop worrying about what the majority feels and we just share the love of Jesus, God can be free to do signs and wonders. And then you might say, well, how come Paul and Barnabas didn't stay there when they learned that they were going to be stoned? Well, they're wise and they use common sense to leave when they need to leave. So if you find out you're going to get stoned, it's okay to leave because they're brave but not foolish, okay? God wants us to use our common sense when we're sharing the gospel. When things turn violent, it's okay to leave and remove yourself from that situation. But what he was talking about here, and I think the message he's conveying to us, is don't give up at the first sign of trouble. And that's what most of us do. Now, if it comes to the point that you're going to get stoned or it's going to cause violence in the workplace, people are pulling out their scissors and their letter openers and things like that, then it's maybe time to take a break and say, let's get back to work here, right? Okay, so use common sense. So persevering Christians respond to slander and the poison of embitterment in that way. The second thing is that fireworks religion steals the glory from God. And this is a remarkable passage of Scripture. And we are living in such a culture with the cell phones and the selfies, and everything is all about self. And I see sometimes people posing, and you know, it was funny. One time I saw this girl; she was trying to do that kiss face and post on Facebook to try to get attention from other guys or whatever, that sort of thing. It's all about self. Now, imagine if you were in a position where I said, you know what? I'm going to give you the special gift that when you sing, everybody is just going to adore you. When we get you up on that stage, everybody's going to love you and adore you. Would you take that gift? Probably most of us would. I mean, I see you kind of grin. It's like, I don't want to raise my hand because I don't want people to know how self-centered I really am. Because it's in our sin nature, we have it in us. So you get up on stage and God has given you a wonderful talent, and then people start adoring you. And you know, that's what happens a lot in fireworks religion, is that the temptation gets so strong when God does signs and wonders and great things start to happen, growth happens, and then people start to say, well, I kind of like this attention. I kind of like being in the limelight here. I kind of like being in this place, but not Paul. Now, it's really interesting. If you don't understand why these people thought he was Zeus and Hermes, you see, these were country folk. And they had some myths and they had some legends. And one of the legends was that Zeus and Hermes had once come to this mountainous area. And they were looking for lodging and seeking mortals to lodge with. And they asked 1,000 homes and no one would take them in. So finally there was a humble cottage of straw and reeds, a poor elderly couple, Philemon and Baucis. That's a wonderful name. Freely welcomed them and feasted with what meager means they had. So in appreciation, the gods transformed the cottage into a temple, making the couple priest and priestess. And when they died, they were immortalized as a great oak and a great linden tree. The inhospitable homes, however, were destroyed. Okay, so Paul shows up. They see miracles, signs, and wonders. And what are they thinking right away? Oh, Zeus and Hermes has come back. We're not having our houses destroyed this time. We're going to welcome them in and we're going to be hospitable. That's not going to happen again. So it was a fable. It was a false religious belief. But that is why they were driven to worship Paul, because they were afraid. they thought, well, if we don't, we might lose our homes. Like in the story, you know, the story that great-granddad told us. That's passed down from generation. So we have these fables and stuff today as well that we deal with. But the fact is that God is great, and He's going to use you and me to do great things if we surrender to Him. So the persevering Christians will sooner or later face the temptation to rob this glory from God. Say, look at me, oh yeah. And you see what happens when the deceit of pride sets in. It's easy to begin to become proud and receive the praise of humans. And when we choose to receive the worship that God deserves, we are opening ourselves up not only to false doctrine, but to compromising and introducing all kinds of pagan practices in the church. Now, Paul could have said, well, you know, let's let them do their thing and then we'll keep preaching the gospel to them. He could have done that. He's like, this is much better than being stoned, right? They're offering a sacrifice for us. They're bringing the garlands out. They're doing all these things. This is much, much better than being stoned that we just escaped from the previous city. But you see, that's the temptation that we have today. Is, oh, well, if we just mix a little bit of the world's practices in, then maybe we'll share the gospel with them later. Not Paul. He says, I'm not going to take the glory from God and pervert the word of truth. Humans want a God of their own making, and that's often played out by making other humans as their sense of security. And that's what they were doing. And people do that today with preachers, and they do that with spiritual leaders and things like that. It's like they set them up on a pedestal. It's like, oh man, that's the greatest thing. Pastor so-and-so said this, Pastor so-and-so said that. I don't ever want that to be my legacy in my life, because I want people to say, God's Word said. God's Word said. Jesus did this in my life. Not some great spiritual giant, or not that I'm a spiritual giant. I'm not in the very least of the matters. But you get the picture. We are drawn, not just pastors, we have friends, we have people in our lives that we say, you know what, I'm going to kind of use them as my sense of security in my life. Paul says, no, I'm not going to take the glory, I'm not going to allow you. So they did all that they could, and you notice the message that he gave here was very different than what he gave to the Jews. These were pagans, Gentile people that didn't understand who God was even. So he said, you know, the guy that makes it rain and you have a fruitful crop. He says, so he points that out and shares that with them. So a persevering Christian responds to being worshipped by being repulsed by it. Now, Paul, what did he do? He tore his robe. He says, no way, I'm not having it. So what is some example maybe of today of someone when we're completely not wanting to have anything to do with it? I mean, we might say, well, this is back in the day, not talk to the hand, no. Not going to do it. Paul tore his robes. And what would happen if you and I adopted that same kind of attitude when people try to give us the worship? We instead will quickly communicate that we're human like everybody else. You and I make mistakes just like everyone else in the world. The people that you're going to witness to, if you try to paint this picture that you are perfect and you have no sin in your life, it's not going to work because they're going to catch you. But if you say, I'm human, and God's grace is working in my life just as it can yours, that's going to set up a whole other dynamic. And I think that's the problem that we have in our religious culture, especially in this area that we live in, is that we want to present this picture that, I go to church, and I'm just a strong member of the church. And then they're out smoking weed, they're out cussing people out, they're having sex outside of marriage, they're doing all these sorts of things But instead, if we would be repulsed with taking the glory for ourselves, to say, you know what, I want to put the focus on Jesus. A persevering Christian puts the focus on Him even when they're having a spiritual high. And I'm going to warn you, some of us are going to have spiritual lows with our witnessing this year. Some of us are going to say, you know what, I witnessed to them for so many years and this all year, and they didn't turn to Christ. That's discouraging. Some of you are going to say, wow, someone was healed and they were set free, and don't let it go to your head. Paul said, no, I'm not going to take the glory. So even when you're dealing with a spiritual high. And then, number three, persevering Christians keep continuing in Jesus when they're experiencing a low. See, fireworks religion is exciting until the sparkle fades. Just remember, you know, when you sit down and you have that big bowl of ice cream and then it's you look and it's gone. It's disappointing. You light that sparkler and it goes for about 30 or 40 seconds and it's gone. It's out. You are going to experience lows. In church services, you'll experience low. In your ministry, you'll experience, in your workplace, with your connection with people outside of your home. But persevering Christians keep continuing when they're experiencing the low. And Paul went as low as you could possibly go. Anyone in here want to volunteer to be stoned? Nobody? Chad, not even you, or you're a tough guy. Yeah, you want me to stone you? He's very, very quick to say that. Sure, why not? I've been stoned before with words. It's okay. But Paul was left as dead, and it's a horrible thing to be stoned because you get hit with the head, you get knocked out. Because of God's providence and blessing in Paul's life, he didn't die. And a persevering Christian will experience this pain, and we can see that in 1 Timothy. But sharing the good news will not always be a glamorous, exciting thing. Even sitting in church listening to a sermon is not, getting teaching is not going to be a glamorous and exciting thing. I mean, sometimes you're going to yawn. If I were sitting where you, I would yawn sometimes too. Because we're humans, right? Okay, it's real, we're humans. Christianity is not always a spiritual high. Sometimes you will get stoned, whether it's people's words. You will get persecuted. You will have a bad day or be in a bad mood or be discouraged. But the persevering Christian gets up and continues without missing a beat. And I love that. I mean, how strange is that? Bloodied stones and dust. Paul gets up instead of going and hiding out in some cave, and he goes right back into town to say and make a clear statement that you cannot stop the preaching of God's Word. Your persecution means nothing to me. Oh, if we have that kind of strength and power to get back up and walk into town and prove that we can't be intimidated with the persecution, or a spiritual low cannot stop us from obeying God. Oh, if when we hit those times of depression and we want to give up, that we would get back up and go right back into town and prove that even though I'm not feeling like praising the Lord today, I'm going to praise the Lord. Is there some, don't raise your hand, but I bet you in this crowd there was someone that didn't want to be here this morning because you're facing some difficulty in your life. Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't want to be here this morning at first. But what would happen if we make a choice and say, I'm going to go, and you did make that choice today. How God blessed us in our time of worship today. If we would just get back up and say, this low is not going to stop me from doing the things of God. Fireworks religion is loud, but it does nothing of lasting value. Persevering Christians finish the task for which they were responsible for. And without going into too much detail, a lot of times Christians will want to say, you know what? there's greener pastures over there. This is not going so well for me. This is dangerous. I'm going to move on to the next place in hopes to find greener pastures. It is a great temptation, not template, but temptation, to want the success and glory of God by people getting saved without a long-term hard work of discipling and establishing a strong, healthy church. You know what we want today in churches? We want a come-and-go kind of church where it's like, oh, wow, the message uplifted me. The music was my style. It was short enough that I didn't get tired. And you know, I kind of just left with a light feeling and I can go home. But to be a part of God's church means that we are all involved of helping people grow in Jesus. Paul could have said, I've been stoned. I'm ready to go home. Like I was in Israel. I'm sick. I'm ready to go home. But he didn't. He said, well, these new converts here, I'm not going to just leave them. I'm going to establish elders in the church. I'm going to teach them until they're strong. And on the flip side of that, that's us committing ourselves to the teaching. And then he prayed and committed them to God and said, now that I've trained you, I'm going to let go of it, and now you're going to take my place in the ministry, and it's time for me to go home. Persevering Christians finish the task, even with the possibility of great danger. And last of all today, fireworks religion can lead to apathy. Now, this is not a picture of my grandfather, but I always tease him, and he would laugh with me, but we talk about fireworks displays and going to fireworks. And as a kid, we're like, Grandpa, can we go to the fireworks? You know, sometimes we'd go up and stay with them in their place up in northern Michigan. And he would be, Or he would say, you've seen one, you've seen them all. Why do you want to go? And as I grew older, I sort of maybe, unfortunately, adopted some of that idea with fireworks. You've seen one, you've seen them all. Then you have to sit in traffic for hours just to get out of the fire. Oh, see, there's some agreement there. Apathy sets in, right? I've seen one, I've seen them all. And religion can do that. Our mission can do that. But persevering Christians keep focused on the facts. So Paul, remember that map, went all the way back home to his hometown of Antioch. And it says that he stayed there for quite a while. But what did he do? He didn't just sit down and say, I was stoned. Those people mocked me. I'm done. What did he do? He shared. The Lord opened the door for us. He shared. Look what God did. He saved a lot of Gentile people. Isn't that great in all these towns around this area? You prayed for us as a church and we fulfilled the mission. Now we're coming back for a time of rest and relaxation. But the facts are it's easy to rest without reflecting on what God did. And when we do that, we're tempted to not move to the next mission. And it's tempting to withdraw from Christian community when we really need it. So remember, this year, when you've completed your mission, whatever God has called you to do, don't let an indentation be made in your pew. It's good to rest. It's good to be refreshed by the brothers and sisters. And they recognize, he said he stayed no little time there. So it wasn't just like he was a workaholic like a lot of Americans are and just said, okay, I've shared what God's doing and I got to get right back out on the mission field again. No, he spent time getting refreshed. He needed it. He was stoned. I mean, he had all kinds of things and wounds on his body that needed healing. And ministry, you will get wounds. You will get wounded this year. I'm just telling you in different ways. Some of you will, whether it's your ego or whether it's positions at work or at school or popularity, you will get stoned. But can you be in the end and say, I got brothers and sisters that I can go get refreshed with That's why we gather here weekly, is so that we can do our mission. The mission doesn't necessarily happen here on Sunday morning. Sometimes it does, but this is the rally. This is the preparation. This is the time of refreshment. This is getting equipped and taught so that when you go out there, you are God's church. And if you don't realize the need for that, God has gifted us with each other. So don't get too comfortable. God has another mission for you. Don't get like I was yesterday. You know, I did try to score points with Tanya. I call her Coupon Coletta because after Valentine's, when I get my Valentine's heart, the little conversation hearts, I just like how they taste, I get them for half off because it's after Valentine's. So it was a dreary day. It was rainy yesterday. I was kind of discouraged. We tried to turn all the lights on in the house and that sort of thing. And I'm sitting there eating my conversation heart. And Tanya says, well, it would help if we would just get up and move around a little bit. And I said, well, I have been moving. Putting one at a time in my mouth. Don't get like that spiritually. You know, don't get comfortable in your easy chair. Some of your easy chairs, you know, that's really reality. There's heart candies, there's popcorn, and if you dig down in, because we get stuck there a lot of times. Are you ready to get back out on the mission? Are you ready to go today? God has given you all the power that you need. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't be a fireworks Christian that just gets excited, wow, this is a great thing. We had a great worship experience today, and then you're going to go home and, oh, reality sets in again and say, ah. Oh. And you see, this is why when a lot of times when we can become so emotional sometimes, and it's good to be emotions and let the emotions out, but that's not the reality of Christianity. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's going to be mountaintops and then there's going to be the low valleys. But a persevering Christian goes through it equally with as much joy. Paul says, count it all joy when you encounter tribulation. So, this passage, go home and read it again because this is getting you ready for this year and your witnessing experience. So if you didn't get to sign up on the sheet, there's some here in the front and in the back. God, I pray that you'd bless each brother and sister that's here. Empower them for the ministry that you have. I pray that they would not get discouraged, that we would not get apathetic, God, that you would set our hearts on fire with a passion for the lost, that we would have the strength and tenacity that the Apostle Paul had, that when he was stoned, he just got back up. When he was made fun of, he just said, he spent considerable time speaking the Word of God boldly, without hesitation. Give us that kind of power. Give us that kind of attitude and tenacity. Lord, we sacrifice right now all the opinions of the world and people around us. The only opinion that matters is you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today. Have a great day. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy.